It's kind of hard for me to believe. Do you know the last month we celebrated our 8th birthday as a church at Gwinnett Church? Isn't that awesome? So I think that's incredible. And now we have 2 locations. I want to say hey to Gwinnett Church Hamilton Mill. So exciting to see what's happening there. We love you guys as well. And it's also, though, a little surreal for me to still realize that I actually work at a church. And the reason I say that is I grew up a preacher's kid. And some of you have heard this story, but I promised myself that I would never, ever, never, ever work at a church. In fact, I promised God, I will never, ever, never, ever work at a church. So I've been working at a church for 16 years now. And if you get nothing out of the day, you might want to write down, never tell God you're never going to do something. I think he pays closer attention to that. I recently told God, I'm never going to be a billionaire. So I'm going to see how he handles that one. And so I want to tell you what changed in my life, what shifted in my life. I grew up a big sports fan, and I didn't know that you could do sports marketing. And I grew up in Atlanta as a sports fan, which is a little bit of a bleak existence because, as you know, we've built more stadiums than we've won championships here in Atlanta. Eventually wound up working in marketing at Chick-fil-A. I handled their sports marketing and beverage marketing and thought I would be there for the rest of my career. And then one day my boss walked in and he said, hey, I'm gonna go to a leadership conference in Chicago. Would you like to go with me? It's a church leadership conference. And I wasn't quite sure. And he said, but then we're also gonna catch a Cubs game at Wrigley Field. I said, I'm in, all right? So I went to Chicago and I went to this conference and speaker after speaker just rocked my world because they gave me a different view of church. They gave me a different picture of church. They said that the church should be the best organization on the planet, that the church should be the most well-run organization on the planet, that it should be full of passionate people that are focused on changing the world. And speaker after speaker just completely wrecked my world. And then that Friday afternoon at a break, while most of my Chick-fil-A friends went out to the lobby, I just went out a side door and stumbled out until this little lake that they had outside of this church. And while I was standing there, minding my own business, I felt like God spoke to me in that moment. And God's never spoken audibly to me, but as Dr. Merritt at Cross Point Church says, God speaks louder than that. And I felt like God said in that moment, you're gonna help start a church someday. And I said, no, that's not what I do. You know, I'm a preacher's kid. And the reason I felt like that is to take you back to a story when I was younger. When I was growing up, we went to church not one day a week. We went 3 times. Anybody do that? Yeah. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and when was the other night? Wednesday night. Oh, my goodness. Look at that. Was almost like an amen. And sounded like y'all enjoyed it. I didn't. Okay, so... But on Sunday night, we would come back in one of my dad's churches, and we... my brothers and I and my sister, we would watch The Wonderful World of Disney. Anybody remember that? And my parents would drink coffee in a little kitchen, and I would overhear their conversations. And my dad would say, well, Deacon so-and-so is mad about this, and Brother so-and-so is angry about this, and Deacon so-and-so didn't like it when I did this, and Deacon so-and-so doesn't think I'm preaching the right way. And after hearing that a number of times, here was a thought that I had about the local church. Why do these people hate my dad? And that thought over time formed into a decision. I will never, ever work at a church. And here I'm standing at this lake in Chicago, and God says, you're going to help start a church someday. So I didn't tell anybody. The conference went until Saturday, then we fled back Saturday. I get in my car, I race home. I come home to Wendy, and we go to the front porch. And I said, honey, I don't know what to describe. I don't know how to describe what happened. Maybe it's because of all the Malnati's Chicago pizza I ate while I was there. Or I think God spoke to me. I think we're supposed to help start a church someday. And I've told Wendy this. Jessie, our daughter, was about 1.5 at the time. If she had laughed and said, Jeff, Chick-fil-A loves you, it looks like they're going to stay in business. We've got a daughter upstairs. What do you, start a church? If she had said that and laughed, I would have gone, oh, what am I, that was just the pizza. I would not be here today. But instead, my amazing wife said, if you think this is what God's calling us to do, let's go for it. So I didn't know what to do. The next day, we just decided to go to a little church in Alpharetta called North Point Community Church. And we just got plugged in there. And just so you know, I didn't go on Monday and resign my job at Chick-fil-A. I don't have that much faith, okay? I'm still thinking it may have been the pizza. So you know what we did for the next 3 years? We just served. We serve. I started serving in Wombaland, and the wonderful team in Wombaland said, this is not God's calling for your life. So then I went to guest services. And then Wendy and I started hosting Starting Point. And what God started doing in our Starting Point group just blew us away. But do you know who I met at North Point Community Church? I met some of the most delightful people. They were so delightful. They were focused on what they were called to do. And these people, it struck me, they had not yet recovered from the grace of God. And I hope we never do. And they just wanted to share with as many people as possible about the grace of God. Then 3 years into serving at North Point, I met a friend of mine, John Woodall, that some of you know, and John and I were having coffee, and I shared that story, that whole story with him that I just shared with you. And I said, I don't even know what that meant. I don't even know what I'm supposed to do. And John said, I know what I think you should do. I think you should come help us launch Buckhead Church. That's gonna be North Point's first multi-site church. And when John said that, I said, that's it. That's what the thing at the lake in Chicago was all about. Get in the car and called Wendy. This is why we could actually talk in the car with our cell phones. And I called Wendy and I said, I found it. I discovered what we're supposed to do. So 2 months later, I meet with my boss, David Salyers, who had invited me to that leadership conference. And he said, I have something to tell you. And I said, well, I have something to tell you. And he said, let me go first. And I said, okay. He goes, what we've decided to do here at Chick-fil-A is give you a huge promotion and a huge raise. And I said, please don't say a number. Please don't say a number. And I said, well, David, I'm resigning today because I'm going to go help start Buckhead Church. And David's a huge friend of mine to this day. So 2 months later after that, I'm driving out of the road at Chick-fil-A. And this was before, I mean, video church. Who even knew that this would happen? And so while I was stepping out in faith, Wendy and I were stepping out in faith, I just want you to know, anytime you're going through a job transition, I wrote every single person in the marketing department at Chick-fil-A a handwritten note that basically said, if this doesn't work, can I come back? Because who knew a video church would work? So I go to Buckhead Church, and we're meeting in this hotel conference room in Buckhead every other Sunday. And then we move into this closed down grocery store, renovate it, and it went from a few hundred to 4,000 people in a matter of months. And just the most amazing thing. And then we helped build the building that Buckhead Church is meeting in this morning. And you know what I've discovered and who I met at Buckhead Church? I met the most delightful people. People who are focused on Jesus, people who had never yet recovered from the grace of God. I hope they never do. And then 8 years later, after 8 years into Buckhead Church, Andy came to Wendy and me, Andy Stanley, our senior pastor, and said, hey, we found a tract of land that we think could potentially be a church in Gwinnett County. Would you and Wendy want to start all over and do this again? And so in December of 2010, Wendy and I resigned from Buckhead Church, and we began the journey here. We met about in the upper room at Ippolito's at Swanee Town Center with 70 people. We got together and prayed. This is in February of 2011. We prayed. Many of them wrote checks to begin a down payment that we could go to the Gwinnett Convention Center and say, hey, we want to rent this facility for a few months. And do you know who I met over and who I've met over these last 8 years? I've met you, and you are incredibly delightful. And now we have delightful people in two locations. And the reason I share that story with you is I want to talk about this word today. And if you put this word under a microscope and break it apart, here's what it looks like. It's three syllables, delightful. And you know why I want to talk about this word? It's because this word, when you understand the meaning of this word, it ties directly to a calling that Jesus has for his church and a direct calling to the mission that Jesus has for his church. And this word is an apt description, not only for his calling, it's a beautiful description of who you are, Gwinnett Church. And I say that as someone who's on the front rows to get to see you doing this. And you know what delightful means? It simply means this, to be full of light. That's what that means. So people who are delightful people are full of light into a dark world. And when you have a group of people who haven't recovered from the grace of God, when you have a group of people who haven't recovered from the thought that God has forgiven me, that God is with me and God is for me, what happens is they are a delightful group of people, and that's how you change the world. And this isn't my idea. In fact, Jesus, in a very significant moment, in fact, Matthew, one of his followers, describes that there is a large group of people that have gathered in this moment. They've come from all over. And Jesus has a significant moment to cast vision for his church, not just for these people, but for the people who will follow Jesus in the subsequent years. And what Jesus says to them, and what Jesus says to us, and what Jesus says to the journey ahead is something that we can't ever lose sight of. The challenge for us, now that we're 8 years old, is that if we're not careful, we can drift off mission. And every now and then, I need to come up here and call a timeout and remind us of what the main thing is. Because the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. And in this moment, Jesus says, let me tell you what the main thing is. And this is what he says. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And what that means is this, and what Jesus is describing here is incredibly beautiful. In fact, next month as we move toward Christmas, we're gonna celebrate the fact that Jesus, the light of the world, has come into the world. And when we place our faith in Jesus, this mystery happens that the Apostle Paul says, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. So Jesus being the light of the world, his light comes into our hearts, into our lives. And wherever we go, we carry the light of Jesus to our neighborhoods, to our classrooms, to our relationships, to our communities. And you can't separate this. This is why Jesus said, you're the light of the world and a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Here's what this looks like. And I'm not being critical, but I understand the thinking of this. People go, you know, I don't talk about religion. Religion's private, religion's personal. Okay, I get that. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship with Jesus. And when the light of the world comes into our lives, if we're growing, this light, because of who Jesus is gonna flow out of us. That's how this works. And so what Jesus is describing here is that when your light, when his light comes into our lives, here's what happens. In different areas in our lives, when the light of the world comes in, then wherever we go, Jesus goes with us and illuminates the people around us. And so what I wanna do is I wanna show you how this works. In the very next verse, Jesus says something that is really remarkable, that's an invitation for you and me. It's part of our story in terms of who we are and what we do now in two locations. And my heartbeat is that it is always part of our story because you have different lampstands in your life. And it's really important to let this light shine. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 5:15. It says, nor do people put a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. And what I want to do for just a moment, I want to illustrate this verse because this verse is very applicable to your life and mine. You see, you have different lampstands in your life. You have a variety of different lampstands in your life. I have a variety of different lampstands in my life. And each lampstand is an opportunity to let the light of Jesus shine in our lives. Each one of you, you have a story. And your story is unique. And there are some good things that have happened with your story. And there are some challenging things. Things are heartbreaks in your story. In all of that, God's glory and who he is can shine in the good and the bad. Your story is unique, and it's an opportunity to let the light of Jesus shine through. Your finances is another opportunity. In fact, we did this collectively as a church, and you can still do this. Last week, we collected money, and we will give 100% of it completely away to other nonprofits, to other organizations. Not 85%, 100% will be completely given all away because you know why we want to do this? We want to support them, but we want to let our light shine through our finances. Work. Work is an extraordinary platform to let the light of Jesus shine through. In fact, the question I get over these last 16 years, I've gotten this question. Hey, Jeff, can you tell me your decision to leave the business world and to go into full-time ministry? And I understand what they're saying, but that's bad theology. I already was in full-time ministry. And that's not just because I was working at Christian Chicken. I was in full-time ministry when I was a busboy at the Peachtree World of Tennis in Norcross, Georgia, which I think now is a Lifetime Fitness. And in that moment, I was a Christian and I was in full-time ministry. But let me talk to the business people. Sometimes we think to let our light shine in work, we need to do a prayer breakfast, and I'm all for prayer breakfast. We need to do a devotion at lunch. I'm all for devotions at lunch. But can I share with you one of the best things that you can do in addition to all that to let your light shine? Is to just run a fantastic business. Create a great work culture that people grow and begin to understand who they are. One of the best things that you can do, one of the best things that we can do is to just run a fantastic business because God loves excellence. And when you do, it glorifies Him. I love what our students are doing, letting their light shine in the local schools. I get to hear so many amazing stories. Let me tell you one that's happening right now and what's gonna happen in this journey ahead in the next few weeks for our middle school student Gwinnett Transit. Our middle school students, all of their small groups, are gonna get a name of a family who will not be able to afford Christmas this year. And those small groups are going to adopt that family, they're going to go shopping, and they're going to give Christmas to a family in need in our community. That's phenomenal. That's why we believe in the next generation. And we believe, you've heard me say this before, we're not in here focused on you and just babysitting students and babysitting children. No, we're trying to keep you entertained so that we can change the world in Wombaland, Upstreet, Transit, and Inside Out. That's what we're gonna do. And we believe that the light of Jesus shines forward in the hallways tomorrow when these amazing students carry the light of Jesus into their classes. Now, this is part of your story as a church. I mean, this is what we're about. We want the light of Jesus to shine forward in our experience and expression at Gwinnett Church. And there's all sorts of ways to do that. Well, let me just give you one. And this is just a simple way. It's just a simple way, but I love this one. It's so simple. It's the whole for Gwinnett magnet and pay it backwards, right? You know this. We've asked you from time to time, and I would encourage you to do that this week. You got the for Gwinnett magnet on your car, and you go through a drive-thru every now and then, and you pay for the person behind you, just as a way to let your light shine, a moment of generosity. Now, I have to tell you my latest favorite story about Pay It Backward. I love this. A couple of weeks ago, Jonna Gwynn, who's on our staff, we were having a meeting, and she came in, and I could tell she was a little flustered, and I said, is everything okay? She goes, I have to tell you my For Gwinnett Pay It Backward story. I'm a little bothered by it. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, what happened? And she said, I was in the drive-thru, and I noticed that there was a young man behind me. He was about the age of my son, Dalton, who's 25, 26. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to pay it backwards for him. So pulled up to the, and I said, hey, I want to pay for the person behind me. And so they said, okay. So they said, could you pull up a little bit? And then so waiting on her food. And so the team member came up to Jonna and said, the person behind you has a message. And she goes, oh, okay. It's a two-part message. First of all, he wanted to say thank you. The second message is he wanted you to know he's married. I love that story, I tell you. So sometimes it doesn't work. But the point is this. We want to be delightful people. Paying for food behind us, even if it sends the wrong message. We want to be delightful people. That says, hey, we are people full of light. It's not about us, but it's about the light who's come into us. And then in our relationships, in all of our relationships, that's why our model, if you will, our church model is really a relational model. We want you in small groups because we believe relationships can challenge us, can care for us, can love us. But ultimately, it's in the relationship with Jesus that the light shines. And here's what happens with light. Light illuminates the pathway to Jesus. So when we take the light of Jesus and we live it out in the different lampstands in our lives, light illuminates the pathway to Jesus. And as the light illuminates the pathway to Jesus, the light influences people for Jesus. And as the light of Jesus in the lampstands in our lives, as it illuminates and as it influences people, the light impacts communities. And this was the genius idea of Jesus about the local church, that when you have a collection of people who understand that we need to be full of light, and we allow the light of Jesus to flow through us and in us to all of these lampstands, then you change one community at a time. And as one community is impacted, as it's illuminated and influenced and impacted, over time it flows throughout the rest of the world. That's the power of the local church. And the reality is, you may see me as the preacher today, but let me turn the tables. Tomorrow morning or this afternoon, you're the preacher, and you get to preach, and here are the stages that you get to preach on. You, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are in full-time ministry. And if you're here today at any of our locations, and this is your first time here, or maybe you're not a follower of Jesus, here's what I want you to know. We don't always get this right. This isn't a group of perfect people. This isn't a museum of perfect people. This is a hospital of broken for broken people who've discovered a light, and we're just trying to follow that light. And we want to invite you into this journey. That's what it is. It's a journey. And when there's a local church who stays focused on this and who has never recovered from the grace of God, I'm telling you, Jesus shows up and does remarkable things, and that's been your story, Gwinnett Church. Now, I wanna give you an example of how this works, all right? But I was a little concerned about the example that I'm gonna give you, because when you see this example, you're gonna think, well, of course, that's a big stage. This person's influencing millions of people. So I wanna kind of preface this story with this couple of statements before I share with you her story. Because I want you to know that even though this story that I'm gonna share with you is pretty powerful, lots of people, here's the thing. This person that I'm about to share with you, while she is influencing millions, and you may say, well, Jeff, tomorrow I just go to a cubicle. So it's like her story and my story. That's not how this works. And here's why. God, think of these lampstands as stages. God isn't impressed with the stages. God is impressed with your stewardship of the stages that you've been given. So the stage I'm about to share with you, it's pretty bright, but I just want you to know, if you go to work at a cubicle or you go to work as a barista, whatever that may be, God is just as impressed with how you are letting that light, his light, shine through you, because that's where he has you right now, all right? So that said, I want to share with you an example of how this works, and there's a danger that's happening in the church world right now that I want to talk about. So the person I want to talk about is Lauren Daigle. Lauren is one of the most popular recording artists in the world. I think she's traveling in Germany right now. Now, many of you know Lauren. What you might not know is that Lauren actually led worship here at Gwinnett Church 3 years ago. So before, you know, some of you are like, why, we should have been going to Gwinnett Church then, right? So before God just blew up Lauren's career and she became this crossover artist, she was actually standing right here leading worship. So last year at this time, Lauren was invited to sing a worship song on the Ellen Show. And that's what this was. In fact, I want to put the lyrics to the song that she sang that day. This is part of the lyrics that she sang. Now that you saved me, I sing because you gave me a song of revival. Put it on a vinyl. Rise up, rise up. So here's Lauren Daigle. She's on the Ellen Show, and she's on this massive platform, and she's letting her light shine. Millions of people singing a worship song on the Ellen Show. And then guess what happened a few days after that? Lauren started getting criticized. She had people starting to protest her concerts. And it wasn't a group of people who didn't believe in Jesus and said, you can't sing a worship song on the Ellen Show. No, these were Christians who said a Christian should not go and sing on the Ellen show. In essence, here's what they're asking Lauren to do. Lauren, you can't do that. Here's how this works. You should not carry your light onto the Ellen show. You should do this and just put a basket over it. We Christians, we don't carry our light into the world. We don't do that. Are you kidding me? This is antithetical to the message of Jesus. This is unbiblical. Lauren Daigle, just like you and me, have been given a platform to let that light shine, and for fellow Christians to criticize her is completely and utterly ridiculous. And if it sounds like I'm being critical, it's because I am. And if you need to email, it's andy.stanley@northpoint.org, okay? And it's not because it's not just because Lauren's a friend, it's because this isn't what Jesus has called us to do. And the reason I say that is because he said it. This is what he says in Matthew 5. He says, "You're the light of the world, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket." No. "But on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." Oh, Lauren, you can sing. Go where you're invited and let the light shine. That's what we're asking you to do. And hey, I love Lauren Daigle and she's amazing, but the stage that you've been given is just as important. Don't be confused by the bright lights. Don't be confused by the number of viewers and all that kind of stuff. God has you right where he wants you, and you and I have lampstands. You and I have stages. How are we doing stewarding that lampstand? And here's why this is important. Jesus is leading us to something. And whenever you see these two words in the Bible, "so that," it's really important because what Jesus is saying and what the writers of the scriptures are saying is, I'm teaching you this so that this happens. And the reason Jesus is talking about this is for a critical, important so that. And he concludes this portion of his sermon by saying this, that in the same way, let your light shine before others so that, I love this, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is why we do this. I love what the old preacher Charles Spurgeon used to say. He said, "Let your light so shine that people look at you and go, wow, they must have an amazing Father." So when you go tomorrow at work, what you and I are called to do, it's not perfect people. That's not the goal. That's not possible. But you let the light of Jesus come in, and we let that light shine so that people look at us and go, wow, she must have an amazing Father. Go to work. Go to school. Go to the neighborhoods. Go to the restaurants and tip really well and go, wow, so that people would go, they must have an amazing Father. That's why we give you all of this Four Gwinnett swag, so that you carry it into the neighborhoods, you carry it into the ballparks, you carry it into the neighborhoods, you have interactions with people, and people, it's a seed, it's a light. They go, huh, those people are so nice. What does Four Gwinnett mean? And so at the very beginning of our church, we wanted to ask two questions. Very, very beginning. When I left Buckhead Church, we began to ask these two questions. And question number one is, what do we want to be known for as a church? What do we want to be known for? And then secondly, what are we known for? What are we known for? And so the early days of the church, we weren't known for anything because we didn't even have a church name, right? So we began to ask the question, well, what is the church known for? And in that early conversation with our small team, someone in that meeting said, you know what? Many people are more familiar with what the church is against rather than what the church is for. You know what that means? That means the power of the local church, when it's known for what it's against, let's just put a basket over the light. And if I can use a word from my former life as a marketing person, the church has a brand problem. And the brand problem is that we are known more for what we are against. So from the very beginning, we said, this isn't who we're gonna be. We're gonna take this basket and we're gonna let the light of Jesus shine. And what we wanna do is we wanna be known for who and what we're for. And so in this season, you hear us talk about words like give, we did that last week, and serve and love. That's not just reserved for November. It's all the part of what For Gwinnett is all about. But specifically in this season, because so many needs rise up, we lean in even greater with a higher intensity in the month of November. And so this week, we're asking you to serve. And we have a really unique opportunity for you. And you don't just have to do it this week. You can do it the rest of the month. I would encourage you to do this for the rest of our journey together. But specifically, you know, you're busy. You got so many things to do. So what we wanted to do is to give you some tangible ideas and some tangible ways that you could go out and let your light shine in our communities. So here's what I'd love for you to do. If you brought your phone today, I'd love for you to get it out at both locations. How many times does a preacher tell you to get your phone out, right? And so I want you to text GCSERVE to 555-555-888. And when you text this, by the way, I feel like I'm a weatherman. While you text this to this, and the front's coming in here, when you text this, here's what you're gonna get. You're gonna get a reply back, and you're gonna get a list of opportunities to serve our community. Some are ideas, some are specific opportunities that you can learn from our and serve our community partners. And as you do this, here's what I would love for you to do. I would love for you to consider doing this as an individual, or with a family, or with a group of families, or with your small group. If you have a parent, by the way, if you have kids, if you're a parent, you've got kids in Wamba or Upstreet, or particularly Upstreet and Transit, you should get your small group collectively together and go serve together. But as an individual, as a family, as a small group, let's go do this. And the reason we want to do this is because of this. We have an opportunity to let our light shine in our community. So text GCSERVE to 555-888 and pick one. And decide this week what you're gonna do. This would be a fantastic holiday program. This would be a fantastic holiday opportunity. And let's show our community that we are for them because God is for them. That's how this works. Now, here's the funny thing, and I'll close with this. And not just funny thing, the incredible thing. So about 3 or 4 years ago, I got a coffee mug in the mail, and it said, For Winnipeg. And it said, we wanted to thank Gwinnett Church for the opportunity to let our community know that we are for Winnipeg. And then I started getting T-shirts in the mail from South Carolina, from Pittsburgh, from Toronto, from California, from Guatemala, from Dubai, with all these churches doing for their community. And what you didn't know, Gwinnett Church, at the time, you were just showing up and you were serving. You were just showing up and inviting. You were showing up and financially making all of this happen, and you were letting your light shine. And as you let your light shine, guess what happened? It does what Jesus promised. It began to spread around the world. And I know that's something that you would think that I would say. So what I wanted to do today to close is I wanted you to hear from a few of those churches. A few of those churches who are learning from you, who are being inspired by your light, who are following you on Instagram, so don't make any mistakes. Churches that are going, wow, if they can let their light shine in Gwinnett, I wonder what would happen if we did the same thing. And I wanted you to hear from them because they told me they wanted to say thank you to you.
Hey everyone, my name's James Price and I am lead pastor here at Northbridge Community Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We are for Pittsburgh.
I'm Brad Cooper, and on behalf of New Spring Church and our 14 campuses, we are for South Carolina.
We are Access Church in Guatemala, and we are
for Guatemala.
Hi, this is Kelly from Neighborhood Church in California.
Bourbonnais, Illinois.
El Paso, Texas.
Florida. Murray, Kentucky.
St. Louis, Missouri.
Fairborn, Ohio.
Austin, Texas.
Somerville, South Carolina.
And we are for the Loo.
And we are for El Paso.
We are for Lakeland.
And we are for Callaway.
We are for Naples.
We are for Visalia.
We are for Somerville.
We are for Austin.
And we are for Kankakee County.
Thank you for being for us.
Thank you for being for us.
And we are so grateful that you are for
us.
Thank
you for being for us.
Thanks so much for being for us.
Thank you for being
for us.
And
I want to thank
us.
You so much for being for us.
Thank you for being for us.
Thank you for being for
thank
us.
Thank you for being for us.
Thank you for being
for us.
Isn't that cool? Do you know how that happened, Gwinnett Church? Here's why that happened. It's because you're delightful people. That's who you are. And I'm biased because I love you. You are full of the light of Jesus. So what I've come today to say is thank you. But let's be a group of people who never recover from the fact that the light of the world has come into our lives, and we just want to share it with others. And so this week, we have a specific way to do that, to text GCSERVE to 555-888. And as we do, let's be delightful people. Let's be full of light. That's the amazing invitation that our Savior has invited us into.